The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hi, this is Davi Silva from University Church in Circleville, Ohio, and you're listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we are back, Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode number 48.
What's up, podcast listeners? This is Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe.
Welcome to the Youth Ministry Sherpas, helping youth workers to keep going.
How's it going this fine day, Steve Anderson?
Hey, man, I'm having a good day.
Yeah?
Yeah, last night our youth ministry was stellar.
Ooh, you had a poppin' night, huh?
We did. So we had one of those moments that just keep you going for like months on end. We have some students this year, some student leaders that have gotten involved. Their families don't come to our church very often. In one case, not at all. And this one girl last night, she's now a junior. She shared her testimony about how freshman year, she had just moved here from Germany. She didn't have any friends. She was literally alone at the lunch table
Aww.
For an entire semester.
Oh, that's
the principal
would
come and sit with her. It was that bad.
Oh, man.
And she was depressed, anxious, even to the point of being suicidal.
Oh, man.
And this girl from our youth ministry invited her to come to youth group freshman year.
What a novel idea.
I know.
It's crazy, right?
And they became fast friends, best friends. They've been coming ever since then. This girl is now a student leader. She's up there sharing her testimony last night. She accepted Christ at one of our retreats. And she's just like a ball of sunshine. I can't believe that she was ever in a state that dark to see her today. And so I'm just flying high today, man. I'm
so
happy, so excited. It's like the ultimate youth ministry when you get a kid from outside the church, they accept Christ, their life is transformed, they become a leader.
Man.
They're sharing their life with others. It's awesome.
Dude, you're killing life today, Steve Anderson. I love it. I love it.
Those moments don't always happen, so you got to celebrate them when you get them.
You got to love them. Yeah. I had a good night last night, too. We're doing something at our church. This is student ministry, unrelated, honestly, but we're doing...
Well, you're not allowed to do that.
I'm not? Well, I am. That's just what I do. We're doing this thing called Radical Mentoring. It's actually kind of out of Reggie Joyner, came out of his whole thing. And so I got a group of five guys. They're all in their late 20s, early 30s. And we're meeting once a month together. Twice a month, we get together in between the meetings as pairs. But then the six of us get together once a month. We read a book every month. We're memorizing scripture. We're sharing our stories. Uh-huh. It's all about vulnerability and openness. And I was a little hesitant. I got to be honest. I was a little hesitant because I was like, man,
it's
one more thing.
Of time, yeah.
One more thing on my plate. But I came home last night. I didn't get home till 10:45 last night. We met for 3.5 hours last night. It wasn't the plan. It's just we just got talking and sharing and being honest. And I got home and I was like, man, I haven't been this excited about something in a long time. Really. It was just really super cool. It was our first meeting and we're already just off to the races.
That's
great.
Fantastic.
These guys were hungry for it and just looking forward to it. We've got this text group. It's just blind. I probably had 55 text messages this morning when I got going because everybody was...
What are these, freshman girls?
No,
what's
man,
going on?
It's awesome. And so I'm just, I'm kind of flying high.
That's
loving
good.
It.
There
loving
are days it. Where things are going great in youth ministry. I love it. I love it.
There are days where it's not.
That does happen.
I sent you a couple days ago, I sent you... just for kicks and giggles, I sent you these email drafts. So I help run a basketball league.
Now look, first of all, I've got to say it. I've got to say it.
All right, say it.
I told you so.
I know.
I told you so. The 3 years ago when we were in that league, and it was just such a headache. And then you're like, I think I'm gonna volunteer to be the commissioner.
No,
of this
I've been running the league now for 5 years.
It's been 5 years.
It's been 5 years.
You are sick.
I know. Anyway. All that said, Steve is speaking truth.
I have no sympathy for you.
He's speaking truth, and this is the last year I'm running it. And I know he's heard that before, but for reals, I'm not going to run this league anymore. It's a youth group basketball league.
You're lying.
It had some value back in the day. It's kind of lost it. But anyway, on Saturday night, I got a couple Saturdays ago, I got two, what I would consider rather snarky emails from people in the league with some beefs or some complaints. So I took the opportunity to write two versions of my responses to the emails. One was actually pastoral and kind and direct, but yet adult-like. One was what I really wanted to send, but just knew that no self-righteous adult would ever actually send.
Do you actually type that response in the email itself?
No, negative. Those just were both written in Word.
On the slight chance that you might accidentally get
They were sent. Written in Word and then copied and pasted to my dearest friend so they could see what I was thinking. And then the correct email was copied, pasted, and sent to the recipients. And so
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sure. I've heard back from both of them. And it's all worked itself out, which it wouldn't have done if I had sent the first version of the emails. But it got us thinking about this idea, right? Got us thinking about thought bubbles.
Youth ministry thought bubbles. Yeah, for years, my wife is an elementary teacher, and we've had this conversation off and on about the things that we really want to say but can't say, our thought bubbles.
Not just can't say. Shouldn't say, because we could. I know people who say these things. I mean, they're jerks, but I know them.
Yes, but you can't be in youth ministry for 20 years if you're going to say these things.
Correct.
They're going to run you out of town.
Correct.
But you want to say them.
You do.
I want to say them so badly. In fact, I do say them. Like you type your email into Word before you actually send it. You know, I say these things to my staff or to my wife or sometimes to myself in the car.
It's therapeutic. It's therapeutic to work through those things. It felt very good to write those two emails that never got sent.
Yes.
And then it helped me write a much better, much more productive, much more adult-like response.
I loved the one about the girl who didn't get to play her basketball game because you said little princess. I hope your little princess gets to play basketball.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was extraordinarily snarky that night.
And left a bad taste in your mouth, in his mouth, and you said something about tequila usually helps that or something.
Yeah, when I get a bad taste in my mouth, tequila helps with that. But anyway,
classic.
So we've got this idea of going through a list of scenarios, as you were.
Yes. Now, it's funny because we have this disclaimer at the beginning of our show, which usually is not necessary.
It's but definitely today, necessary today.
Today, it's going to be necessary because it's going to be Youth Ministry Sherpas Unfiltered here on the podcast.
Right.
So hold on tight.
Hold on tight.
Because we're going to say what we really wanted to say.
But we'll also talk about how we actually can respond in a more productive and pastoral-like way.
Maybe we will.
Later. Yeah.
All right. Do you want to talk about kids first, parents first?
I think let's go with parents first.
Oh, boy. Yep. Hold on, people.
And here's one that if you have not yet heard this, brace yourself because it's coming.
Yep.
Because some parent is going to come to you sometime and say, my kid doesn't have any friends at youth group.
Isn't that something? Your kid is just such an outsider. Here's what I want to say. And I've heard this one a thousand times. I hear this monthly.
Monthly.
I can't get my kid to come. They're new. They don't know anybody.
They don't have any friends here.
This is what I say inside. Are you freaking kidding me? Seriously. For real.
Yep.
In what area of life do you have friends at something you never go to? How do you find friends if you never show up? Where do you find friends that just drop from the sky without actually investing in making friends? How does that happen? Where is that world that you're dreaming that you live in? How are you going to make friends if you never come? Is that too strong?
I think that would come off a little rough around the edges, if I'm being honest, if I was on the receiving end of that. Yes, I have the same thought bubble, Steve. I might phrase it differently, but it boils down to the same plan. Of course you don't have any friends. They don't come. And when they do come, they sit in the corner and refuse to interact with anybody. Mm. And so they don't have friends. So what is a maybe more productive way to respond to said statement from parents, Mr. Anderson?
That felt really good. I don't know if I could do better than that.
It felt good, but you're never going to actually say that.
Okay. Well, I usually do say something along the lines of, you know, they have to give it a chance, just like you do in anything in life. So maybe you could make a deal with them and say, can you make sure they come for 4 straight weeks?
Four? You do 4? I do 8.
Eight is even better.
My number is 8. My number is, if I'm talking with a parent who's really struggling with that, I will typically say, make a deal with your kid. You're going to go 8 times within a 3-month period, not 8 times over 2 years.
Yeah.
And I usually say, and if you're really serious about this, if you really seriously want your kid to be connected here, and they have to go to either the fall retreat or the spring retreat.
Yes. Right?
So you got 8 Sundays and 1 retreat. And if after that they still think everyone's a jerk and nobody is connecting and they don't have any friends, then just give up and say, fine, don't go. Just let it go and be done, because at that point in time, there's nothing we can do. But I would 99 out of 100 times, if they give it that effort, they'll have friends. They'll be connected, and this will all be in the rearview mirror.
That's a good word, man.
Yep.
8 times, that's good. A whole semester maybe even would be good. Yeah.
A subset of that statement is, the youth group is really cliquey, and there's all these groups, and my kid doesn't fit into any of the groups.
Have you heard that one?
Monthly, probably. Yeah, there's some buzzword about cliques. Like, if we're dealing with high school or middle school kids, there just has to be cliques. That's just the way it is. And I struggle with that a little bit. And so in my head, I just think, well, there are groups of people that know each other better than other groups of people, and so they naturally draw themselves towards each other. Yeah, that actually is how life works.
What's the difference?
You have cliques too.
Right.
Right? And not everybody that you know in your world is invited into the groups that you spend time and make sacrifices to be with. So why should it be any different in the youth group? And so you just need to get off your high horse and just deal with the fact that this is the way life is. Would that be too harsh?
This is great, because the funny thing is, you can't see our faces, but once we get going on this, we're like all agitated and animated. Our faces are turning red.
It's because
you were getting hot there, man.
This is real stuff. I mean, this stuff happens. And so,
So what's the difference between a clique and a group of friends?
Yeah.
Well, the difference is they're exclusionary.
Right. Correct.
And we work so hard in our ministry to not be exclusionary. And I know it does happen.
Of course it does.
Of course
natural
it happens,
because
that's how people are. But man, we work so hard to counteract that. And it's the same thing. It is related to the first one. If you come and you make some friends, then you'll feel like you're kind of an insider. Or you'll feel like you're connected, and then you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, clickiness and friendship, they're often confused, and they're not. We want friendships to form in the youth ministry, right?
Yep, exactly.
We want kids to hang out outside of church, don't we?
And so my version, yes, we do. And my version of that response is actually just a calmer version of that exact same statement. It's just to help them get a vision for, no, these groups of friends that like to be with each other, we actually think that's a good thing. We encourage that. At the same time, we fight tooth and nail against them to be open to welcome other people into that group.
Yes.
And so that's the difference between a group of friends and cliques. And so you might say that the group is cliquey, but you have a very limited view of what's actually happening. It's not.
But maybe it's about your unwillingness to overcome a little bit of fear and discomfort to get involved. Maybe if you would just push through a little bit of the discomfort that you're experiencing, because everyone experiences discomfort in a new situation, and if you didn't live in your fears, then maybe you'd be included.
Yes.
Maybe you'd enjoy it.
Yes.
Maybe you'd actually love it. Maybe it would change your life.
These are all true things, Steve, but again, you're saying them with a bit of an edge. I think I would just tone that down.
Getting worked up over here.
And respond to that. Any other real good parent ones?
My kid can't come because of blank, practice, homework.
Yeah, you we, name it.
Oh, I'm going off now. Oh boy, okay, so fall retreat last year.
Buckle up, people.
Fall retreat last year. The week of the retreat, we had probably a half dozen kids back out of the retreat because they had homework. 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 Homework.
I know what you're referencing, Steve, because, see, I've experienced it. I mean, the homework thing pops up, but I've experienced a lot with, I'm sorry, they can't come to the missions meeting or they can't come to the X because they have practice.
And
I'm
practice?
Thinking, practice?
Practice?
Are we talking about
practice? We're talking about practice.
Practice, right? We're talking about And I just think, I saw a meme on some Instagram the other day about your child has, it was a little too cheesy for me, but the point was made. Your child has a 0.0267% chance of making it to the professionals, to be a professional athlete. They have a 100% chance of standing before Jesus. Get them to church. And I was like, okay,
wow.
a little over
it's
the top.
Slap in the face.
Yeah, a little over the top for me. But for me, I just, again, my thought bubble in those scenarios is, don't you dare, mom, dad, when your kid drifts away in his faith and no longer
here comes
is
the thought bubble.
Interested in church.
You're going to come to me when they're
Do
leaving
not
the
call
faith.
Me. Do not call me. Do no. not call me because I will not talk to you. Because all I have to say to you is, huh, that's weird. You prioritized everything other than their faith. And now you're confused why they're walking away from their faith.
Have you seen that great Babylon Bee? It was a couple years ago. The title headline was Family Disappointed Daughters Leaving the Faith After Their Quarterly Church Attendance.
Yes, I did see that headline. No, again, and we laugh about that, but nothing drives me more crazy and creates more thought bubbles than either the front end of that. I'm sorry, nope, sorry. I know that you said the mission trip meeting was super important, but so is this practice, one of 700 practices they're going to have in the next year. They just can't miss it.
Yeah.
Nothing creates those thought bubbles more than that. And then again, on the flip side, then when they come and they're confused why they feel disconnected or they don't, you know, they don't have as many friends at the youth
right.
group because they're just not ever there.
And back to the retreat example, you know, you're always going to have stuff to do.
Always.
You're always going to have homework. Always going to have homework. You're always going to have something you have to do. You're going to be tired. You're going to be, I mean, the excuses that people come up with for these weekends that could possibly transform the life of their child in not only the event itself, but the getting connected and getting plugged in and making friends that carries them forward. I just can't believe the trade that they're making.
Yes.
I'm going to allow my child's anxiety over, you know, their English assignment to keep them from experiencing a weekend with God that would actually release or relieve that anxiety, would help them settle down, would
yes.
help them set priorities, would help them to experience the presence of Jesus in their life. They'd make friends. They'd have fun. They'd get exercise. They'd have a blast. And instead, they're at home worrying more about the homework assignment that they would have gotten done anyway, even if they go on the retreat, or they could have done it before they left for the retreat if you'd prioritized your time better. What is up with this?
If I may interject,
sorry.
Steve, I'm going to get on. No. Please, this is all about
therapy.
This is very therapeutic for Steve, and I hope it's helping you all. But I will say this. I want to stand in a little soapbox just for a hot minute, and I want to challenge you and me and everyone listening that I hear a lot of complaint when we hang out with youth workers, when we talk with our network here. This is a constant bane of our existence, and I understand that. However, my challenge is then – not with the thought bubbles, because the thought bubbles are unhealthy and raw and
hey, but hey, if I want to be angry, let me be angry.
Yes, but at the same time, we have to find a way to actually challenge not only our parents, but our students with this reality of their messed up priorities. So we have
all right,
to
Sherpa,
set
what's the magic bullet here?
The magic bullet is just that we have to help them see that. We're not going to help them see that by being snarky with our thought bubbles, but I think we have and we're not always going to be able to change their mind. We're not going to be able to sit down with them and say, "Listen, have you considered the fact?" And just what you just said just with a softer tone, right? This idea of, do you realize what you're trading by allowing either you making this decision for them or allowing them to make the decision? Again, I get it. A 17-year-old kid doesn't necessarily know better. I mean, I had an incident with my own son who played lacrosse, and there was this game during the spring retreat. They were a, and I can honestly say this, he knows this, they were a terrible, terrible lacrosse team. They had not won a game all year. They were playing a team during the spring retreat, on the Saturday of the spring retreat, a team that they pretty much thought they could beat. And he struggled with, no, I want to stay back and go to this game. And the reason was not because I got to be there for my teammates. It was because this might be the only game we're going to win. And to sit him down and say, I will not allow you to trade what could be a life transformational weekend with your youth group and with God for a lacrosse win, one win out of a 20-game season that you'll never remember 5 years from now, let alone 10 years from now. I will not allow it.
I'm getting the finger point here, right?
You're going to the spring retreat.
I feel like Isaac right now.
This is not a conversation. This is a decision that I as a parent made. I think we have to help our parents realize they can make that decision, and it's a good decision, even though they're going to look like the jerk. And I think we can't just sit around and complain that parents and kids are making these decisions. We have to help them not make them. And I get it.
Okay.
We can't change people. I mean, that's what we're in the business of trying to do, but sometimes we can't, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't try. So my soapbox is stop complaining about it and deal with your thought bubbles, and then go talk to that parent and say, do you really understand what's happening here?
I think there's also a case-by-case basis.
Of course.
You know, there are circumstances where the student needs to be at that thing, and I totally get that.
100%.
If it's musical weekend, the kid's in the musical, they've got to be in the musical.
Right. Understand.
You know, they've already signed up and committed to that, or if it's the championship game or, you know, some other really important event. And so you got to have those conversations and allow for those exceptions. But it's the pattern that we're talking about.
The pattern, right.
Because that pattern builds into it. There's always going to be something. So if that something always trumps the youth ministry, there's no way they're going to get connected and grow spiritually in the ministry. It's not going to happen. So you've got to encourage parents to weigh those things out and make those decisions, but hopefully make them with a little stronger emphasis on participation.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously it has a lot to do with your depth of relationship.
There are
certain parents and families and students that you can speak a little more directly and strongly into because of your breadth of relationship with them. And there are other parents where that conversation is just going to be a non-starter from the beginning because they don't know you or respect you, and you don't know them or respect them. So that conversation is just going to be a lot harder. But I'm just saying we got to have it more often than not. All right. What else do we got here? Oh, man. This is good stuff right here.
Do we have any more for kids or for parents?
For parents. Oh, well, this is kind of – there's a couple that are crossover. You know, the parent and the student could come up with this.
Okay.
I didn't know about that. I'm telling you what, one thing that we have done well and continue to do well, and there are things that we don't do well, but one thing that we do well is communicate. I think we over-communicate, especially in today's day and age. There are so many methods of communication. So when I've literally had, and this, I don't even know where to go with this. I have literally received an email from a parent replying to an email that explained the very thing they were asking questions about.
They didn't take the time to read it.
And so, my thought bubble is, and I've never actually done this, but I wanted to say, I usually do the passive aggressive, per the email below, here are the answers to your questions. But what I really want to say is like, so you are now going to take some of my time because you weren't willing to spend the time to read what I already spent my time explaining to you. Do I have this clear? Are we on the same page now?
That's
you're stealing time from me because you're too lazy to spend time on the thing I spent a ton of time on.
That's fair enough.
Is that fair enough?
I think that's perfectly fair.
I don't think it's the right thing to say.
You're right, though. I think about all the ways we communicate now. We've got a Facebook group for parents. We have an email that goes to parents. We have a texting list for the students themselves, which they have to choose to sign up for. They can, you know, if they keep blowing that off, they're not going to get those texts. Yep. So that's, yep. you know, that's
I'm so very that's sorry you didn't get the text that you won't sign up for.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, my bad.
You've got the church announcements. You've got the church website. You've got the announcements in group. If you would actually come to the group, you know, once in a while, you might hear the announcements given orally. There's just so many ways we communicate and communicate and communicate. So the chances are that those parents know about their sports team practice. They know about the sports banquet. They know about their child's work schedule. They know this or that. They probably know, that's what I want to say. You probably know everything else. You've just chosen, because this is such a low priority in your life, to ignore all the multitude of communication that we're sending to you every day, every week, every month. And so you claim you don't know because you don't want to know, because you've made no effort to know.
Correct.
So it's not on me.
Yes, but they're definitely making it a soccer practice.
Per email
below. They know when the soccer practice is. There's no confusion. The coach never gets an email that says, I didn't know about that practice. Oh, no, they know about the practice. They know about the practice. Anyway.
I'll tell you what, man. Whew. We're gonna need a strong drink after this episode.
Something like that. Another one from the parent side of things that we thought about was this. Is there any way that you could make an exception for my kid?
Really? Really?
I feel like all of your thought bubble responses start with either really, really or seriously.
Seriously? Are you kidding me? This is related to the one that really gets my goat, which is parents seeing things only from the perspective of their own kid. According to my child, things were boring last night. According to my child,
the group was not very mature.
Yeah. You know, what I heard from my kid was, or why didn't you plan that event? It's implicit. It's usually not stated out loud, but why didn't you plan that event around my family's schedule?
Correct.
Or my view of the way ministry should be? And that drives me crazy. Absolutely crazy, especially if it's someone that's kind of in leadership in the church. So, because I'm thinking about all of the students, I'm thinking about the 150 or, you know, whatever it is in the ministry, and what's best for the whole ministry as part of the overall vision and the direction that we're going and the decisions that we've made. You know, why did we decide that no cell phones? Oh, here we go. I'm going off now.
Oh, boy.
Why did we decide that no cell phones were allowed on this trip? Because after all these years of doing this, I have seen kids disappear into their cell phone and completely disconnect from the trip. I've seen them get texts from their girlfriend, their boyfriend, saying they're breaking up with them and it ruins the trip. I've seen them distracted so they're not interacting with anybody in the trip. We said no cell phones because we know it's best for them. So no, you're not getting an exception for this because you're not seeing the bigger picture. You haven't done this like I've done this for 20 years. You haven't been with students for like 400 nights away from home. You don't understand what it's like to have them wake up at 3 a.m. and find them on Twitter. So listen to what I'm saying. And no, don't ask for the exception.
Easy, easy. Sorry. Deep breaths, everyone. Sorry. Everyone, let's take Steve through a thought yoga bubble exercise here. That's your thought bubble.
I'm doing some downward dog right now.
Yeah, you should, because you need to bring your heart child's rate pose down. Yeah, I mean, I totally understand that.
Now, this isn't like my child has a medical condition. That's a reasonable exception. There's like reasonable conversations that can happen over this, but no. No, just because you are a frantic parent who can't let their kid out of their sight. No.
Without their phone.
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah. So, again, I think the thought bubble, in the thought bubble, is the truth. It's just.
It's the truth.
It just needs to come across in a more, you know, calm, I think is the word that's coming to my mind.
Of course.
You know, but to help them, again, it's giving them a bigger picture. I remember I got an email from a parent one time. You know, their child came for the first time. We were in a season where we were kind of rotating our Sunday nights because we were trying to grow inviting our friends to youth group.
Okay.
And so we had this pattern where we had a normal youth group for the second, third, and fourth, and if there was a fifth Sunday of the month, that was sort of worship, teaching, small groups, your normal fare.
Okay.
The first Sunday of the month, we had pizza, and we played games the whole night. And
right.
It was just bring your friends.
I know where you're going with this.
I got this email from a parent who said, I sent my kid. They wanted to check out your youth group. They came on this Sunday night, and they were super concerned because all they did was play games. And what he wanted was Bible study. And I'm like, first of all, I call no way. I call what you wanted for them was Bible study. There's no way that your 14-year-old came rolling into youth group and was disappointed that all we did was play games. You were disappointed because somehow now you think my job isn't worthy of a paycheck and I shouldn't be the guy leading this thing. But
it's related to the one we talked about, which is my child is mature and they don't think the group is mature enough
for
them.
Very mature.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
But again, in both of those, you talking about the cell phone policy and them wanting the exception and this, it's all a symptom of them not having the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, we can be frustrated and we can have those thought bubbles and they're very therapeutic and we can tell our friends and our wives and our youth networks about them and we can laugh about it. But then we've got to grow up and we've got to help them see the big picture, because once they see the big picture, I'm not saying some of them, even when they see the big picture, they're still going to be morons about it. I get it. I totally get it. But a lot of them, once they see the big picture, I mean, even this parent, I emailed back and said, let me explain what's going on. And they, and to their credit, they emailed back and said, that totally makes sense. I'll send him back next week and he'll be looking forward to the Bible study. You know, and I'm still rolling my eyes, you know, into the back of my head. But
yes.
Once they had the big picture, then they were able to sort of understand maybe there's something bigger at play here.
Now, that's a great response, and I admire your wisdom and your gentleness in this. But what if the parent's perspective is really, my kid just is looking for this spiritual, they think their kid's looking for this spiritual depth, and you know that that's just not true. How do you respond to the parent who just thinks their kid is John the Baptist and they're not?
I have no idea. I refuse to answer that question on the grounds of main incriminate. No, yeah. I mean, seriously.
I mean, that happens.
Tough.
Yeah.
Oh, it totally happens.
Because parents think their kid is farther along spiritually. And we see all the kids, so we kind of can get a handle on the general perspective relative to other students, which parents don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they think their kid is this or that, and you know, there's nothing wrong with the kid. They're just like every other kid, but they're not who the parent thinks they are.
Mm, true.
And that's rough.
That's rough. And again, I that goes back to a lot of that depends on your depth of relationship mm-hmm. with that parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are certain conversations you can have with a parent if you know them well enough to say like, hey, and there are certain times where that's going to be a counter. No matter how gentle and respectful you go into that conversation, it's not going to go well because there's not enough relationship for them. Do you have the platform to say that?
And the implication is that we are messing up, that we are not doing it right.
Correct.
That if we were just more diligent or more serious or
they
more
would
mature,
be, they would their be the child spiritual would be, giant.
Their child would be growing, and that just sets me off. So, yeah, there's a thought bubble for you.
Yeah. Well, we have much more to say on this topic. There are many more scenarios and thought bubbles.
The bubbles are bubbling over. Yes. It's like a dish soap pouring out of the dishwasher right now. You put the wrong thing in, and it just comes piling out onto the floor. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
But I think for this,
my mind is spinning.
It is.
My heart is beating
racing.
Fast. I am greatly agitated at the moment.
For the sake of our listeners and for the sake of Sherpa Steve, I think what we're going to do is we're going to land the plane here with episode 48. We're going to pick this back up with episode 49 because we have a whole other category of thought bubbles that we think it would be worth talking through. So for now,
we'd love to hear your thought bubbles. So if you would respond to us on social media, we'll post those. We'll have a lot of fun with this. This could be very therapeutic for all of us.
Yeah. So jump on social media in the meantime. We're done with episode 48, but we will be back with more thought bubbles in episode 49.
So until then, thanks for listening to the Sherpas podcast, and thanks for putting up with our rants today. And until then,
Sherpas out.